Jonathan, turn me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 7. Book of Proverbs, chapter 7. I'd like to start with the first verse. So, Proverbs, chapter 7. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. My friends, these are words that the Lord moved Solomon to write. And it's a very powerful reasoning with young persons especially, but obviously to everyone else also. Well, this says that to young persons, because some of the things that he touches upon are most strong among young persons. Some of the deceitful things that in this world often carry away young persons. Sometimes time and years open people's eyes a little to see the vanity of things they have spent their years pursuing. But even then, it often happens they are not able to turn away entirely, even when they've seen through those things. So these are counsels from this inspired man, the Lord's servant and the prophet Solomon. And it's about the parable of two women. Solomon kasafa ema emi nu wansem na eye afutu erade nu mkronkodima Solomon se odibama enkankara mebun na enchese mbebun kwa na enam se samre ni mrea enyomeni bebreya ema won etu abro bochene no esha se inti wopea ese dia all share the foundations. But it's true for everyone, because if the foundations are not well dealt with, well, the superstructure itself will be a hopeless one. And so it is. So there's a parable of two women and what they do. Now the first one is introduced in the first part from verses 1 to 5. And it's spoken about as a kinswoman or a friend, somebody close by. And the picture we are given, that it is that person who has come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the person who has sought forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ, that knows this woman, that has relations with this woman. Oma won oba se ni oye won nyanko ana so oye won bo afo. And so the first woman is here, but I want to explain the verses that come, because she's actually introduced in verse 4. But first of all, my son, verse 1 again, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and lay my law, beg your pardon, my law as the apple of thine eye. Cherish my word, says the Lord. Cherish it, and he calls me my son. A son because this is precious to him. A son because he has relationship with him. He belongs to him. Now he's urging him that he has a blessing. You have a privilege that you should cherish. And friends, this is so. When a person comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, he has a treasure, a very special treasure that he must value. He must never lose it easily. And it's only those who have come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the blessing of wisdom. It's in verse 4. Look at it there. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. It is this wisdom that makes them cherish the commandments. If they are made wise, they begin to see why what God says are the things to cherish. That's what we call wisdom, because wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. And so, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding my kinswoman. This is a Hebrew, simply means a neighbor or an acquaintance. Somebody who comes so close by. And today, the young person who has come to trust the Lord is saying, he has so many privileges, and you are blessed to be able to be made wise. Well, I'll be ready to Christ to why is this important? Because it will bless you in this particular way, which no one else will know this blessing. Because this woman, this wisdom, is like a neighbor to you. And then verse 5, that they may, that's wisdom and understanding, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. There is a woman in this world, says the proverb, there's a woman in this world who is clever with her lips, who is able to lure everyone. Obabi wo sawi asimo, obia otumi daadaano, obia entumi engina ne nimpen. It's able to lure every single person. And this is your privilege. If you are a Christian, if you've yielded your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, this woman won't be able to deceive you. She won't be able to carry you away. So that's your blessing. So cherish it, because the Lord has made you wise. When you become a child of God, you are made a wise person, because you see everything from God's eye. The Lord Jesus Christ, we are told, is the wisdom of God. When we come to Him, we see everything from God's eye, if you like, from God's perspective. And that's what makes us wise. And in the main answer for said, so me be ready to Christ, so me shibri bia, me tia braboa si, efa, said de nyan kopo akano kwaemo, and a me nyan sinino. And so, my dear friend, so this is the privilege. And it says, if you do, we'll be safe. We'll be safe from a very crafty woman in the world. Obabi wa viasia, na miye de ye, miye wabi radi yesu kriso nubeti miye finansa. Who is this woman? I will come to that, because it's in the next verses here. But before I get into that, friends, so you see how, what a blessing it is. That's how the chapter begins. Look at what a blessing it is to be a child of God, to be called a son, a daughter of God. Shinshira yese ebe from nyanko pomba. So we are nebaba anasa, we are nebaba ema. Na we are nidia. Eradima, we are sa nyansa fuonwa. And nam sa wunti asingina, we should shifu nyanko pomba se munti, ebobo wunko bae. Ye we na dadi we be ase. Anu adimpa. E ye wo amwa be radi yisi kriso honkwa. No me bitmi jina no. E san se. And so, my dear friends, so I begin with that challenge to every one of you here. Are you converted? Are you a Christian? Have you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? He is the wisdom of God. And He is our neighbor too. You realize that? This woman, a kinswoman, an acquaintance. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ became. Though He is God, He became like one of us. He took our nature and drew so close to us in order to be our Savior and to bear the curse of sin on Himself, so that we may be reconciled to God. The Lord Jesus Christ. It's all by and chain. Na oswasa boni and wasuchenu se debe nyankupo and yababan in chen. My dear friends, come to Him. Use your heart to Him. Let Him make you a wise person. And let Him make you His child, His follower, His disciple. Maninya wase neba ninya wudinichi. Otherwise, there is a woman there. So that's the first woman, the king's woman. And she comes with wisdom. She invites you to be wise. So that's the first woman, the king's woman. If you despise her, if you ignore her, there will be the second woman. She will get you. And she's introduced there in verse 6 going. And look at those who will listen to him. This is a very powerful parable. A parable of two women. And verse 6. Four are the window of my house. You see how it begins with four. The reason why I'm telling you all this is because of this. That's what the proverb is saying. The reason why I'm challenging you to come to the king's woman and to be made wise is this. For are the window of my house, Solomon is speaking of a parable, but he's making it so personal. What he's speaking about here will be very real to life. especially in a rural environment where the communities are close to each other, houses are close to each other, you see this very clearly. But he's speaking also as an inspired man, as the Lord is using him to give us this imagery of that deceitful woman. And so, verse 6, "For at the window of my house, I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones." Simple ones, the Hebrew simple means the foolish one. This young man doesn't want wisdom. He doesn't want the Lord to make him wise. And so Solomon sees this young man. He's sitting in his house, perhaps a story building. And perhaps he's sitting at their porch or somewhere there. And as he looks through his windows or the opening, the casement, he sees this young man. And what is this young man doing? He's walking aimlessly. He doesn't have any policy. He isn't governed by anything. And so Solomon is watching. He's watching this young man. And look at it there. "And beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youth a young man void of understanding." He doesn't have understanding. He's a simple one, a fool, and he doesn't have understanding. Why? Because of the passing through the street near her corner. There's a well-known woman at the corner there. Everybody knows who that woman is. And this young man too, we have to read into the passage, would have been informed by his parents that there's a woman, a very, very a foolish woman at the corner there. Nobody goes near her house. But this young man sets out one day, and as he walks about, he begins to walk close to this woman. This woman's house, verse 8, passing through the street near her house, and he went the way to her house. It was willful. It was deliberate. He decided to go there. He didn't simply somehow walk around. He didn't know the way and found himself there. He deliberately, willfully decided to go there, close to this woman. And then he went there at a very dangerous time, even though for somebody determined to do wrong, it seems to be a nice time. Verse 9, "In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark of night, why go where your parents would have told you not to go?" Perhaps they would have given this young man some information. And go at night. Go at a time when the skies are dark. And you wouldn't see. But of course, because it was woeful, he doesn't want anybody to see him. So this young man is really determined to go. And to do it in such a way that the parents may not see it. He's getting closer to this woman. And so it says, you see how willful he is. But who is this woman? Well, I will come to that shortly. The Bible is so consistent. But when she begins to manifest herself, you begin to see who is this woman. And so the first thing is, my dear friends, this is the warning of the Lord. If you wouldn't come to the Lord, if you wouldn't come to the Lord Jesus Christ, friends, we would be so foolish, friends. I mean this respectfully. We would be so foolish. And we would so openly choose the very things that would hurt us. Choose the very things that would destroy us. Because we wouldn't listen. Because we wouldn't listen to Almighty God. And you would think you can do that craftily. You can do that at the wrong side, like at the dark side of your parents or some people. But of course, Almighty God is like Solomon pictured himself, sitting and is watching. He's looking through, as it were, his casements, his windows, and he's seeing what you are doing. And he's seeing the kind of things you are about to go into. The Lord sees it right at the beginning. So you can't really hide. You can't really go away and try to hide these things from him, because the Lord will see that. Now, what happens as this young man begins to get closer to this woman? And then, look at verse 10. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot, and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. She is without, that outside, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. And so we are told who this woman is. We are told that she is a harlot. In the Bible, a harlot, it's a reference to literal harlots, people who were committing that kind of sin. But not only that, in the Bible, harlot or harlotry, it's also used for anything that lures, anything that deceives, anything that offers something attractive, but eventually it will hurt. It gives itself away as something that will be profitable, to draw us to itself, to draw us to it, but eventually it will be a lie. There will be nothing to be gained at all. As in the Bible, we are told that sin is like that. Sin, with particular concern about its deceitful part. Hebrews chapter 3 speaks about the deceitfulness of sin. Sin, its deceitful part. Sin, because sin carries with it deception every time. And also, the Bible tells us the pictures of the world, because the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about the deceitfulness of riches, because it gives you an impression that's not true. It lures. It makes a young person lust for it, desire, like a harlot who dresses in such a way that as she passes by, perhaps a foolish young man looks at her more than he should, and begins to lust and desire her. The same thing. The world pictures, gives, of course, portrays their things so that it lures. It makes you think, oh, there's something enjoyable in there. I can get it. If I can get that thing in the world, if I can obtain that thing also, then I can be a happy person. But actually, God has made us such that our happiness is not there. Our happiness and pleasure is always found in himself, chiefly in himself. But it lures and it deceives. So if the world and sin in the hands of Satan, Satan using the world and sin, remember, not sin generally you may consider, but particularly its deceitful part. That sin carries with it always a lie, something to put forward to draw you and I to it, so that eventually it will destroy and it will hurt. And so it is. And look at the language. It's so powerful. Oh, do I really wish I wanted to read you a passage in Revelation that shows us how the world is like that. The Bible tells us a picture. Let me go there, my dear friend. Revelation chapter 19. So if I'm able to read it out to you, know that these things are there. Revelation chapter 19. And the term of a harlot is used there again. And I come to Revelation chapter 19, and I read verses 1 to 3. Now, it is mentioned there in verse 2, but verse 1 to 3. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments. And listen to this. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And so, the harlot is mentioned there. It corrupts the earth. Because by her allurement, by her deception, it deceives so many people and keeps them. And in the book, again, it's pictured as Babylon, because Babylon was the largest city, the most influential city in the world. And so in chapter 18, it's spoken about Babylon, and then 19 tells us it's fall there, because God will judge it. And so, my dear friend, so you see the counsel, dear friends? If you would not come to the Lord, my dear friends, if my life is not yielded to the Lord Jesus Christ, then remember, sin will have such a powerful influence on me. The deceptive part of sin will be so strong. And the allurements of this world will be so attractive to us, my dear friends, and we will not be able to escape. Look at this woman. Look at verse 10. And behold, there met him a woman. You see, it's the woman herself that met him, ready to offer herself to this man. So it's the woman herself that met this young man, foolish young man, we are told. This woman met him with an attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She's crafty. She's very clever. She knows exactly what to say to Leah. Verse 11, she is loud and stubborn. You see what it is? Loud, so that you don't hear any other voice. When she is speaking, she fills your ears with everything. That's how when the world lives, that's what it is. When sin's deceitfulness grips us, that's what it is. You don't hear anything else. You don't seem to hear any other voice except the lust. Except that desire to sin. That's the only thing you hear in your heart and your mind. And it is stubborn. It will never go away. It will never give up until it succeeded and conquered us and thrown us down. It's stubborn. It will not listen to any appeal at all. Nasodin. Sani we are sini bonitie. Nasodin. Oh, koda. Because if I am a Christian, I can flee to the Lord and cry to Him and ask Him to wash me and receive me and cover my defenseless head with the shadow of His wings. But if I'm not His and I don't know the Lord, well, you only have the stubborn sin, stubborn will seeking to carry you away. So my dear brothers and sisters, hold dear and say, "Yes, dear, boni abasa ayedino, make me a slave no so." But you see, and then, look at verse 12. Now, verse 11, she is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house because she's not responsible. This is an irresponsible woman. She doesn't like the household responsibility. She wants to walk in the street easily. Oh, friends, this is about the world and the deceitfulness of sin. But in that, I'm not going to pursue that. Otherwise, it will take too long a time. As a young person, it gives you some of the tips. Tips about how to see a truly good young person. Especially when you are dealing with the opposite sex as a young person. There are some tips here that you can even gather. Now, if you are wise, and you truly take seriously God's word, then you will take those tips too. But because you don't believe Him, you are not this, you will listen. So even when it comes to matters of relationships, you will be a fool. You will do the wrong things. You make the wrong decisions. By all means, you may not see it immediately, but you will see it by and by that you did. You did make a very foolish decision. For example, sorry, I don't want to pursue that myself. I'm only giving one or two examples, and I will not talk about that again. For example, look at this verse. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. These things, what does it tell you about the opposite? Don't think about the woman only. It will be true about men also. But the picture now is about this woman wanting to live. Now, when young persons are really not good persons, they are very loud. They don't listen to counsel. They become stubborn. They are carried away by their own ideas. Even when you tell them, oh, look at what God says, He doesn't care.
When you see a young person like this, you know, please, with all respect, he's a fool. And they wouldn't listen to God's counsel. And another thing, they don't want to be responsible, saying, this is my responsibility. I should be doing it. Friends, oh, please forgive me. I didn't intend to be staying this long. I remember when we were about to marry, when I was going to marry, I was a fairly young person at the time. This is not too special, but around the time, I remember one of the counsels they would give to young person is this. That if you met any, of course, probably because we're in a church, we're told, if you met a young man or a young woman and he says he's interested in you and both of you say you want to marry, and any of you, the other person, can actually allow you or almost encourage you or urge you to ignore a responsibility you have toward God just in order to go and please him or her, mark him out. He's a fool. We're told, it's time for me to go and do something for the Lord. And the young man come and knock him, oh, please, let's go to the beach. He said, okay. Well, let me call pastor. He said, pastor, please, I'm not able to come now. Please, let's make it next week. Where is he going? To the beach with a fiancé. We said, well, you don't do that. It's irresponsibility. If that person fear the Lord, the very moment you told him, oh, I have this responsibility towards the Lord, you should say, oh, then I'm sorry, let's cancel ours. That person is worthy. You see, nobody will tell you this. Only the Bible. You see, so this woman, because she's a fool, she's irresponsible also. And the counsel that we're giving is this. Now that you are fiancé, you say, no, really, Mary, you think that she loves you so much, that's why he will even ignore his God and his church and come to you. By and by, he or she will do the same thing to you. You become small to him and pursue something else and ignore you. It will come on you. You see, my dear friends. But anyway, well, this is how the world is also, my dear friends, saying. That's what it does. It will make you irresponsible. I'm sorry. I don't mean you wouldn't care for your children. I don't mean you may not pay your children fees and all those kind of things. Oh, friends, who will become so irresponsible toward God? I will never see if I owe him nothing. I will never see if I have nothing to obey him. And yet my life is in his hand. The world makes you irresponsible. And we will have to answer. We are seeing my head But remember, we owe him our lives, Apostle Paul said in Acts 17, we owe him our lives, our breath, and everything. Everything we enjoy has come from him. Sin and the world makes us irresponsible. I don't want to feel tasked. I don't want to feel bound to him. I don't want to feel obliged towards him. I want to be a kind of a freelance person. And some people think they can be freelance person and at the same time inherit heaven. Well, of course, the devil himself is a freelance man, and he would never go to heaven. And so, my dear friends, now, oh, I don't have to say, because so much here, look at verse 12. Now she is without, now in the street, that's only to show how irresponsible she is, and lieth in wait at every corner. She doesn't like to stay at home to do her duty, so go to her house and see what is happening there. Friends, if you forgive me, every now and then you see a nice gentleman when he's out there, you can see he's taking care of every part of his body, from the hair to the toe of his to the very end of his body. The shoes are really exquisitely clean, every dust, every particle is removed, everything is so just what he wanted. Nice. His clothes are well ironed, as if after ironing and putting it on, he went nowhere else. He came straight to the office. Now, he's such a gentleman, we see him everywhere. Please, I hope I don't mean anybody here this morning. You go to his house. You open his door. It's a mess.
I'm sorry. The shoes are on the bed, and the pillow is on the floor. Of course, I'm talking about extreme, so I hope nobody does this. Anyway, so he gives it up. Appearance on the outside is a nice person, but oh, he's not responsible. He's not responsible at all. He doesn't like duties. He doesn't like, he only wants enjoyment. Let me enjoy it. Maybe I'm in pen or personal castle. But yeah, remember, I bear responsibility in the officer. My dear friends, that is what the world will make you toward God. Even if you become a responsible parent, taking care of your children, you become a responsible toward God. Would you want to be like that, friends? Let me rush on. There's something else he says here. Oh, look at her deceitfulness. Verse 13. So she caught him and kissed him. And with an impudent face, daring face, said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Sorry. Why is she bringing in peace offering? Solomon cast it in the context of the Jewish community, society. This woman is not only irresponsible and stubborn, she's clever at pretense. She guesses that this young man will be a well Jewish young person who had been taught in the things of Jehovah. And she wants to wean away this young man. And so she brings in aspects of religious matter. Oh, I even have paid my vows to God. Don't think of me as an evil woman. I've been to church today, you would say. I've been to church. And when I went there, I think I paid my offering. And I gave God my best offering today. I've been there already. Only that I came to meet you too. And to kiss you. And to take you to my house. You see, she combines sin and lust with religion. And people can do that, my dear friends. Friends, that's exactly what when the world would win you over. It would tailor its language according to who you are when it's in the hands of Satan. When Satan will win you and I over, he wouldn't come with the out and out. Somebody who really has nothing to do with God. He will come with people who themselves appear to be church people, but really don't love the Lord. If they loved him, they would have been responsible people spiritually. If they loved him, they wouldn't be that loud and stubborn. Their stubborn heart would have been melted. But it's not true. Because when you see stubbornness in a person, you know grace is not there. Grace is not in the heart. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, when he takes the heart, he melts the stubborn will. And so this young woman, young man is carried away with her religion. My dear friends, be careful. I have not met it yet, but years ago, back in Cape Coast, there was a man. Friends, this is a very sad story. The place is warm. I really want to rush through this. Forgive me. But there was one man. He seemed very, very active in our church back in Cape Coast years ago. And to our surprise, at the time, not to our surprise, another young lady came along. She seemed very much interested. And in fact, we had almost baptized her. But of course, a few things made us say, well, wait a minute. Let's wait and see a little more about this young woman. Well, to cut the long story short, eventually it happened that this young lady was actually following this man to church. So she followed her, was able to stay there for a few months. Eventually, she whisked this man away. The man was a married man. He carried him away.
And so we didn't know this. Of course, the man knew that there are things to be had, so the man has not stopped coming. And then when we heard that the man has stopped coming, we tried to find out why. And you know what people do? He gave a long list of reasons why he's not coming. It was okay, we accept that, that's okay. Only a few months later, we saw that a young lady was pregnant, and then we asked him, so what happened? So, oh, it's the man. People can be so with an impudent faith, daring. I will pursue him to church. Don't think of individuals now. Individuals can do that. We can do the same thing, my dear friends. This is why Solomon is warning. If you wouldn't yield your heart sincerely to the Lord, you can boldly go to church. Boldly become a preacher. And yet all along, what you want is the world. This is what has happened to many of these charismatic pastors, supposedly. With an impudent face, they take up the pulpit. And what they want is the money. With an impudent face, because they fear not God. They think God is not there. We all talk about him, but he's not real. With an impudent face, that's what the world will make you, dear friends. It doesn't care to take you into church, let you learn all the things that Christians say. Say the same thing that Christians say. And know exactly what to say. Learn how to behave yourself as a church person exactly. If the heart is not yielded so the stubbornness is melted, oh dear friend, it will make a fool of us. It will shame us. It will become evident we were only bold and daring in sin. We were bold enough to say, I don't care. You may not have said it with your lips, but that will be what's in your heart. You see why Solomon is appealing, my son. Come for wisdom. With an impudent face. This is the world. And so when it takes hold of us, my dear friends. Oh, let me go on, my dear friends. I don't want us to keep in the warmth there. And look at verse 15. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. Now the woman has found this young man. And look at something else. To let her see that this young man is so safe and that she can truly feel at home. Look at verse 16, what she says. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry. Tapestry in those days was very expensive. They are the beddings that were actually woven with hand. And so it was very expensive because it was slow. In these days we have machines to do them. But in those days it was very slow. With carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have imported them from Egypt. They're not local ones. Not made in Ghana. Good. No. Let's not say made in Ghana. These days we are doing well, isn't it? But anyway, not inferior products, this, she says. Verse 17. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes and cinnamon. My dear, we know what the world does. Don't read these passages anymore. When sin and the world want to lure, it gives us things that attract both the eye as well as the feeling. Things you see and they dazzle you. Wow, I must have it. I must have it. And it stirs, tickles the feeling. Oh, I must have an experience of that. I must have an experience of that. How does it feel like? How is it like? And I want it. Even if in a way that displeases the Lord. And so she speaks about what is on her bed, things to see with the eye, and the perfume in her room. When you come into my room, the whole place is smelling with myrrh and aloes, very costly. things in those days. And then 18, come and let us take our fill of love unto the mouth. You see, an abusive word. Come and let us take our fill of love. Love? You call this love? And love that deceives and lies and lives? And love that is not responsible? No, that's what this world is. You see that this is happening again and again. They are changing words now. You know the ordinary meaning of gay, isn't it? Don't you? Now what does it mean now? They twist around words now. And it seems some people are behind the scenes actually deliberately picking on these things. They look around and say, okay, let's pick this word that everybody loves. Everybody loves. Let's fill it with a new ideas. And that's what they're doing. This woman called it love. Let us take our fill of love. Love isn't like that. Love is never unfair. Love will never cheat. Love will never be responsible. No, it wouldn't. But strangely, that's what they tell the young person. And young person, obi akecho no do no ni mo ane se unpa brentu ane fee ni di akeka huni na nuane woni trimo obi ankenche ni biusa waya kada aye far more than that. And this is exactly what the world does, and that's what sin does. It so tries to really blunt off your fears and all your anxieties, so that you will go along with her. Here you are afraid. You've been taught in Sunday school. You are afraid of some things because you've been taught and your parents have emphasized that. Now you are grown up now, living on your own, a mature person now, 30, 40 even. And now something suggests, let me go and have a try. Let me have a first taste of a very serious criminal life. Let me go and tell a lie for my advantage in some way. Let me just bury my conscience as if I have no conscience and take that thing which does not belong to me and to use it even though I shouldn't. You see, so it becomes so daring and you blunt off every feeling so that you don't feel guilt if possible. She does something else again. Apart from blunting the sense of guilt, she adds something. Look at verse 19. For the good man is not at home. He is gone along with. So this woman is a married woman. You see the picture. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. So the woman says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid that in the process somebody will come up and say, what are you doing in this house? Or something. Don't be afraid. There's nothing for you to fear. The man is indeed gone. He said he would come 3 months' time or six or nine. And indeed, when I look at the amount of money he took and the items he took, he's actually coming at that time. So don't be afraid. Oh, my dear friends, when we reach that point, when all fear of sin is gone and the sense of shame is vanished, woe unto us. We are as good as dead. And I cannot feel any. Friends, this is so terrible a state to fall into when the sense of shame is no longer there. Makodisati bienwa, samipini sa suadinwa, in niwobia en sorry wa makumamin fubio, en famihua fe. Oh, friends, you see, this is what is happening all over our country now. Hardly anyone tells a lie with a shame. Hardly anybody tells a lie with a sense of uneasiness. It's become part and parcel of us. Woe unto us. Woe unto us, my dear friends. It's always a very dangerous state to fall into. Mi begisa tibienwa afedye sabonino enyeme niwo bio. NKTBO, Mitibwa, EU, and Hami. And then because you see, I said, about Ghana, and they said, Obia, Tunidia, Troa, and Hanumpo, Abeka Kasanoho. Oh, friends, my time is going, I will finish soon, friends. These days you come across a number of young persons. I have some what I'm dealing with. When you ask them a question, the very first answer is likely to be a lie. When we're putting up the church building back in Cape Coast, we're hiring prisoners to do some digging work for us. And just they routinely, they tell lies. Even when the smallest you ask him, oh, what is that? What is there? What did you see there? He has to tell you a lie. And if you give him your reason, oh, I only wanted to know so that, and they say, okay, say it now. And then you tell you the truth. Routinely tell a lie. Well, what a sign that the world is taking me over. And I belong to the world. And the world dwells truly in my heart when I am so ruled by lies. You know why? When the Lord Jesus Christ, who is truth, truly rules the heart, you can't tell a lie with ease. You can't tell it and go, I think nothing has happened. You wouldn't do that. You can't do that. You will weep many nights if you did that. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, who is truth, is in the heart. Because I know I have grieved the Lord whom I belong to. Oh, my dear friends, conversion is real. Conversion is truly protective. Friends, but this woman will make us all liars because she herself is telling a lie. Friends, I have to begin to close now. Now, she wins. You see that? That's Solomon's purpose. If you wouldn't leave you your heart to the Lord, the world will win because you don't have faith in God. You can't trust the Lord. You can't leave your affairs with Him. You can't look to Him to guide and to rule. Therefore, the world will win. Verse 21. With a much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With a fluttering of her lips, she forced him. Don't you see there's something that appears inconsistent in the verse? It appears. It's not inconsistent, but it appears. If she only spoke, why use the word forced? You force a person by dragging him along, isn't it? The woman didn't drag him along. The woman didn't really put some ropes around this young man and begin to pull him away. No, that's how it is. When flattery overcomes a person, it makes the person work as if he's been forced. That's how Satan plays his game. Satan cannot force anybody. He cannot. He has not the power to force anybody. His greatest power now is his tongue, his lies, and his flattery. And when they overpower us, we behave as if we've been forced. That's how it works, my dear friends. And so, this young man is carried away. And he isn't aware of the consequences. What would happen? 22. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter. Abemoy, odimamiechi se, a friend is saying, and then Chia Yeko Kumno, as Nagin so called on the Niko Genoho. He doesn't know. As an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stock, which is always a bitter thing, you are being taken there to be locked up and then beaten up. He doesn't know that that is what is going to happen. Verse 23, till a dart strikes through his liver. As a bird hasteth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. You think you were having fun. You think you were only heeding to your desires. You do not know you are exchanging with your life. Your life is in the line. You think this is a small thing. As for the small lie, what does it mean? As for the small thing, if God says, I hate it, he hates it. See, Radisi Ochi Ochi. Say sorry, dying will mean him, and now we'll be asking him. Doesn't really matter. He is the judge of all the earth, and so this young man will eventually be ruined. Friends, they appeal again. My son, Listen to me, says Solomon. Come for wisdom. Come, seek repentance. Seek forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let Him give you a new heart. Any person or any one of us, remember, you are bound to fall right into the arms of the world. It doesn't matter what a nice person you are now, the world will shake you into something else. We are seeing Ebert Daniel, Noah Sakrao. Friends, I'm only reading the last appeal. I don't have time to explain it too much. So the final appeal is in verse 24. Hearken unto me now, therefore, ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways or descend to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. The word wounded, the Hebrew means pierced. She hath brought many to be pierced unto death. That's what it means. Wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Oh, friends, here is the invitation of the Lord. Come unto me. Do not listen to the allurements of this world. Do not listen to the allurements of sin. Cast yourself upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Come. It doesn't matter what you've done already. There's mercy and pardon with Him. Your nation will be to you more broken. Lord, your chain, branding chains is here.